time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
3-2 pitch. Fastball belted deep right.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
My, what a night in the NFL draft as we are open for business on a Friday edition of Overtime. We're on the clock as Fernando Mendoza predictably goes number one. A shock performance from the Rams last night as they stay put at pick number 13, but they go for the future instead of the immediacy of their roster. The old Green Bay Packers model that everybody admires and talks about. How in God's name did the Packers pull that off? A Hall of Fame quarterback to a Hall of Fame quarterback to Jordan Love, who certainly has a really nice trajectory right now. Gee, I wonder. I highlighted that a couple months ago with you guys in the draft lead up. Teams, we always talk about and admire the ability of teams to not have to throw a rookie right into the fire when they're not ready, even when they think they are ready. They need to take their lumps in practice. They need to learn how to grind on some film, progress as a player, refine the mechanics, JJ McCarthy, and so much more. And Ty Simpson has landed in a premier position for his future. Rams plan ahead. And yes, I love that pick. And I said, love that pick. Do I wish it was later in the first round? Yes. But the Rams didn't move up. They didn't give up additional assets to get Ty Simpson. They got better this offseason already with the addition of Trent McDuffie, and they get better for the future long-term with Ty Simpson. Do not forget this, by the way. A couple off seasons ago, I remember even talking to my wife about it, who, of course, has some knowledge of the NFL, quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford. She's saying, what do you think about that? And I said, I don't know if Matthew Stafford's going to play again through this back injury. We'll wait and see. MVP season, Rams oh so close, one of the best teams in the NFL last year. They just need a couple more pieces. And they take Ty Simpson. I understand gut reaction. What the heck are they doing? Why are they doing that now? Time is to strike and go ahead and add to this roster, pour it all in for the Super Bowl. But they make the savvy veteran move, the heady play to pack in for 2027, 2028, 2029. It's still Matthew Stafford's team. Still a damn good team at that. And they're going to get some more assets here moving forward in the NFL draft. And they draft for the future. I really like the Ty Simpson selection. Now, for the Minnesota Vikings, what do you think? I would love to hear from Viking fans today. Whether your hair is on fire or you want to pound your chest and say, I love this pick and here's why, Bert. 605-362-3776. Our phone lines are always open. We'll have plenty of Vikings draft reaction on today's show. Dustin Baker, who was on with us for a full preview yesterday, will join us in about 18, 20 minutes here. Yesterday on this show, he told me that the Minnesota Vikings were going to take a defensive lineman, Peter Woods, who went later in the first round, but it was not Caleb Banks, and I do not believe, I'll have to look back, that we even had Banks in our first round. Minnesota opts to stand and pick Banks. They got really darn close to landing Reuben Bain from Miami. Caleb Downs went a little bit later than we thought he'd go as well. So Minnesota had the catbird seat. And then they take Caleb Banks, who by all accounts is a tremendous football player, a massive body, a great mover, great first step off the defensive line, and a massive need for Minnesota. No doubt about it. That's all true. What is also true is that he's got a tremendously long and complex injury history that has a recent foot injury at the combine that is going to have him out until June of your rookie year. No rookie minicamp. Training camp, questionable minicamp offseason. We'll see about Caleb Banks, but big guy, foot injury. I'm not a doctor, but the sentiment that we've seen around the Twitter sphere, around the NFL atmosphere, is that this was a risk and a gamble and one of the riskiest picks made last night. That includes Ty Simpson. That includes Jeremiah Love and other guys that might not be surefire first-round picks. Caleb Banks and the Minnesota Vikings, a risky proposition last night. We'll get the opinion of Dustin Baker in about 20 minutes. We'll get the opinion of Thor Nystrom in about an hour and a half and talk about the best players available. What picks do the Vikings still have? What fits the Minnesota Vikings tonight in round two and round three? Everything Vikings, everything draft. We're keeping you company throughout this Friday, April 24th edition of the show. If you want a contest with us today, Friday Parlay Live coming up around 11:40. NBA, NHL talk then. High Noon Showdown, you guessed it, is at noon. Beat up your neighbor, boop them on the nose, and win a big prize pack here with overtime. Let's get right to it. And we start in the NBA before all of our draft chatter last night. The New York Knicks, what the heck is going on there? They lose in Atlanta 109-108. Jalen Johnson of the Hawks, nearly a triple-double performance as Atlanta takes a lead in the series 2-1. Now, as we look at the other big game last night, there were three total. Cleveland loses to Toronto 126-104. Cleveland still maintains a 2-1 lead in the series. Here is Cavaliers head coach Kenny Atkinson on what went wrong offensively last night for Cleveland.
We got to keep trusting the pass, keep trusting it. I thought we missed some, you know, the plays we made the first two games, making a simple pass, kicking out when the paint's crowded. But like I said, give them a ton of credit. I thought their defense was, they did a great job on both of them. We gotta get our spacing better too. I don't think our spacing was great. That usually hurts, you know, your turnover game.
And that is Cleveland Cavaliers head coach Kenny Atkinson. They lose last night to Toronto 126-104. That series getting a little bit more interesting. Cleveland leads it 2-1. How about the Minnesota Timberwolves? A dominant first half, 61-39, the halftime lead for Minnesota. And they don't give it up the rest of the way. Even ball with the Nuggets throughout the remainder of the game. Ayo Dosunmu, fantastic. 25 points, 9 assists. As Minnesota shortened up the bench a bit last night, and everything is working thanks to one player, according to Chris Finch.
I mean, yeah, Rudy's making us all look good right now with his defense. The game plan's, you know, evolving as the series of game plans tend to do. You know, they do a lot of things that really test you. You know, with those, that two-man game is probably the best, if not the best, in the league, and they've done it for a long time. So you got to stay locked in. And, you know, Rudy's done a great job with handling a lot of things that they're trying to throw at him.
And again, Rudy Gobert doing a nice job, not single-handedly, but locking down Nikola Jokic, particularly in his one-on-ones, and a big win last night for Minnesota. A 2-1 series lead. Game number four will be Saturday night, 7:30 on ABC. Tonight in the NBA, three games on the way. Celtics at Sixers, 6 o'clock on Prime. Lakers and the Rockets from Houston, 7 o'clock, same place. And 9:30, the nightcap on Prime Video, Spurs and the Blazers, game three. That series tied at a game apiece. And again, Saturday night, Nuggets at T-Wolves, 7:30 on ABC. Denver, a slim favorite in game four, 2.5-point favorite, according to DraftKings Sportsbook this morning. Stanley Cup playoffs last night. Buffalo beat Boston 3-1. Carolina over Ottawa, 3-0 lead in the series for the Canes. A 2-1 final last night. And the Avalanche also up 3-0 in their respective series against the Kings. Avs win last night 4-2 in L.A. Tonight, Lightning at Canadian, 6 o'clock. Golden Knights at Mammoth, 8:30. Oilers and Ducks, 9 o'clock on TNT. And Saturday afternoon, Wild going to be home. St. Paul, a pivotal game four. Minnesota trailing the series to Dallas, 2-1. Their slim favorite there, -135 on the money line. That is Saturday afternoon, 4:30 on TBS. At long last, let's talk about the drama, the pomp, the circumstance of the NFL draft last night. I got to tell you, you guys know this from my time sitting in this chair. I am a massive nerd when it comes to football. I enjoy the UFL. I love college football, pro football. It has always been my biggest love, the NFL draft. I still remember back in 2002 having seventh grade buddies over to my house and my mom and all my friends saying, okay, hey, I'm happy to be here, happy to hang out, but what the heck is this, dude? Are we watching the stock market? And I said, this is riveting information going on right now. And I was explaining last night, my seven-year-old son was sitting on the couch post-bath time and said, hey, Dad, what is this? Are these basketball players, football players, what are we watching here? What's with all the people and all the lights and all the craziness? And I said, okay, these guys are college football players and they're going to their NFL teams. And my son goes, okay, Dad, whatever you want to watch, I guess that's fine. This is a little odd. It is odd, but I absolutely love the NFL draft and it delivered last night. Fernando Mendoza, number one. But here are the big takeaways. Long bit here from Chris Carlin, Max Starks, Jordan Reed, Ian Fitzsimmons. Day one takeaways as heard on ESPN Radio last night.
Max Starks, your biggest storylines you take out of day one of the draft?
Oh, man. The Jets really having a great day, drafting some major guys. The shock of the leapfrog before my Steelers could let the player. I'm not bitter at all. No. Because you know what? It brought me another Max to Pittsburgh. And you know how lonely it is being the only Max that has been in Pittsburgh? So now I have a twin. Hopefully he takes the number 78. It's available. And, you know, I kind of look at how the Cowboys just moved around. I mean, the last four picks, we had three trades, you know. And we talked about, will there be trades? How many will there be? And it was furious. And it was consistent throughout this draft. So I just look at the movement and how day two has really shifted that complexion and face. And I'm still excited to see when that second wave of offensive guards and interior linemen starts to go. Because I think there's going to be that run probably about third round where you're going to see that second tier. You know, I'm excited to see guys like see where Chase Basantis goes. I want to see where Jennings Dunker goes and some other guys to really add to the interior of some of these teams.
To add on to that, I would say the centers. When does the run on center start?
Because when does there's Logan Jones and Jake Slaughter and all the
greatest centers in this year's class.
How many wide receivers did you have draftable grades on this year?
I had 49.
It's going to be a run on some wideouts coming. Still to come. And then as far as tonight goes, I mentioned Jeremiah Love going number three overall. I know there was a lot of talk about, well, and that's a slotted salary right there. Whether you're a quarterback or a kicker, you're going to get, 4 years, $52 million, which means he's going to make $17 million more in guaranteed money than Saquon Barkley got with the Eagles. I don't care. He was the best player available on the board. He's not just a running back. He is a true weapon that can tote it, catch it, block it. I thought that was an outstanding, gutsy selection by the Arizona Cardinals.
Jordan, your biggest takeaways from night one?
I think the biggest thing for me was just the in-division trades. I was really surprised by that. And then five of the last six picks in the first round were actually traded. That's something we have never seen before. So we saw a lot of movement in this year's draft, or the first round of this year's draft, and I think it's going to continue.
And that is a nice roundtable as heard on ESPN Radio last night in the NFL draft coverage. You got to echo the sentiment of all the trades, especially in the back half. I was texting a couple buddies last night, including Dustin Baker, saying John Schneider, general manager of the Seattle Seahawks, has got to be fuming as to what happened last night. Not only did Ty Simpson, his big trade chip, go off in the top 15. He goes number 13 overall to the LA Rams. So that whitewashes a lot of what you could get with teams trading up for that prize quarterback fifth-year option. But every single team in front of Seattle was able to make a move. Buffalo trading down, several other teams. Buffalo traded down, I believe, three times last night. And that's why they're one big winner for me from last night. We'll highlight the winners and losers in hour number two. But every single team in front of Seattle was able to make a maneuver, get a third, get a fourth, get a fifth, or more to move down incrementally in the NFL draft. And then Seattle gets there at 32. Okay, the pick is in. They get Jadarian Price, a running back from Notre Dame. Very nice pick. Fills a need. It's the successor to Kenneth Walker. Buys him some time when Charbonnet gets back from his knee injury. You like that for Seattle, but all I thought of was Schneider, the guy that publicly advertised his pick as being available at number 32. Should Ty Simpson in particular be there, we'd love to sell it to you. Let's make a deal that works for both teams, and they're unable to move off of 32. A lot of takeaways last night, but everything centered in and zeroed in on the Ty Simpson decision. Chris Canty says this is all well and good, but now let's talk about pressure for Ty Simpson.
I will say this about Ty Simpson. This might be the second time in the history of the NFL draft where a player at the same position picked 13th overall has more pressure on him than the guy that was the number one pick. This is the second time that that's ever happened in my mind. And so I just think that there's a huge opportunity cost associated with this move for the Rams, because if you don't win a Super Bowl in the twilight of Matthew Stafford's career, then there'll always be the question of what could have been if you had gone a different direction with the 13th overall pick. There is huge pressure on Ty Simpson whenever he's put on the field to instantly produce.
It's a big debate. Certainly comes down to, do we want to win a Super Bowl right now? Do we want to keep the future wide open and bright in Los Angeles? The Rams are typically, under Les Snead and Sean McVay, they're the reckless now team. They're the team that puts all the chips on the table and says, okay, I don't care about 2030. I don't care about 2033. Let's do it now. Let's win it now. And they already did that with Matthew Stafford and everybody else that hopped on the Ram train back a few years ago with the Super Bowl win over Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Now, they've got Stafford back-to-back-to-back years with some injury concerns. This year was pretty healthy and very good. MVP of the NFL for good reason. And the Rams were good enough to win the Super Bowl last year. They got better this offseason already. That does not include the draft picks, draft pick last night and the picks that are coming. They're already better this offseason based on additions and subtractions. So you think, regardless of who they took last night at 13, they're going to be just as good or better in the NFC as they were last year. Matthew Stafford's a year older. It precludes you to plan ahead. We celebrate the teams that plan ahead in the NFL, like the Packers with Jordan Love, like the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, like the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, and other teams that have been able to pull it off, like the New England Patriots. They drafted Drake May. They certainly had other needs that season, but they go with May, sit him on the bench as long as they possibly can, and now look at where they are. A massive resurgence from 2 years ago till now, how we perceive the New England Patriots. We celebrate that all the time, but on draft night, we get so darn ticked off about immediacy. Here's Gabe Neitzel echoing the Jordan Love parallels to what the Rams pulled off last night.
The Packers, when they drafted Jordan Love in 2020, they were 13-3, coming off an NFC Championship game appearance. And you're thinking, okay, what can they add to get Aaron Rodgers even closer to potentially going and maybe winning a second Super Bowl? Instead, they draft one then when they don't need one. And that's the perfect time to draft a quarterback because you're not under the gun of, okay, I guess I got to take one of these guys. Hopefully one falls to me if you don't have one of those top picks. So I understand conceptually where it's coming from. Making that risk on Ty Simpson when you're sitting there with the 13th pick and you were arguably one of the best teams in the NFL at the end of the season last year, you made it to the NFC Championship game, ultimately didn't get back to the Super Bowl. That's where I understand where the conflict exists, because yes, you're looking to their future and that's great. But also, this is the bleep them picks team, and now they're looking to the future when they were on the doorstep of a Super Bowl last year.
It's interesting. People change, times change, and the Rams certainly changed it up last night. A nice pick at 13. The best part about all of it is that the Rams are playing with house money here. This was their pick that they got for the Falcons, trading back into the first round to take James Pierce Jr. last year. They traded their back-end first-round pick for an impact playmaker in the secondary, something that they really needed and missed last year on the defense and getting Trent McDuffie. So pick 13, probably a little high for Ty Simpson. You'd imagine everybody yesterday was saying, I think he sneaks into the first round, maybe an early second-round guy. We'll wait and see on Ty Simpson. Pick 13 is early for Ty Simpson, based on the opinions of many. Matt Miller played the clip yesterday on the show. We're not so sure any team loves Ty Simpson, but apparently the Rams did. They let Stafford know in advance yesterday. Take notes, Atlanta. That's what you do when you have a veteran quarterback in-house and you're taking a quarterback early. Communication and trust is key. But there's a lot to break down from the NFL. We'll leave it off with this for you Chiefs fans out there. Your general manager spoke about the team trading up with their first pick in the first round last night to select the best cornerback in the draft.
You know, it was clear the Redskins weren't going to do anything. And I know Mickey, if there's one guy that's more aggressive than me, it's Mickey. And he, you know, I've had that experience where we're kind of eyeing the same guy. And when you try to call him when they're on the pick, it doesn't work out. So when you looked at, you know, their roster 2 years ago, they lost Paulson Adebo to the Giants. And then just this past offspring, they lost Alante Taylor. I mean, so they're down two corners. You know, we lost our number one and number two corners. And so, you know, we just decided, and we had Mansour Delaney as a top five guy on our board. And we just made a decision that if we got in striking distance, let's just go up there and not leave it to chance. We felt it would come down to us in New Orleans.
And that's general manager of the Chiefs, Brett Veach. They opt to trade up to number 6 to select LSU cornerback Mansoor Delane. And just like the Rams, they got rid of Trent McDuffie, had a needed corner. They address it with their first pick. Chiefs also got Clemson defensive lineman Peter Woods later on in round number 1. Other notables for our area teams: Lions got an offensive lineman, tackle Blake Miller from Clemson. Vikings taking defensive tackle from Florida, Caleb Banks. And the Chicago Bears taking the player that Viking fans generally wanted in Dylan Tynemann, safety out of Oregon, selected at pick number 25 last night. We'll finish up our first segment of the day talking baseball here. Minnesota lost to the Mets yesterday, 10-8 the final. Twins are now 12-13 on the season, and they open up a series in Tampa against the Rays. 6:10 start time, 5:30 pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. There is a ton still to get to as we break down round number 1 of the NFL draft. It always cracks me up every year that we are surprised when teams that have multiple ones or 3 first-round picks or have 2 and then trade back in to get a 3rd, like the Jets did last night, and we say, oh my gosh, look at what that team did. They got all this talent. They had 2 first-round picks already. They were going to get 2 top 30 players already. Why are we surprised? I'm going to push back a little bit on the Giants and the Jets being huge winners last night in hour number 2, but we'll get some Vikings draft reaction next with Dustin Baker of Vikings Territory right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
It's so convenient. Sports on the go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Just getting off the ground on this Friday, April 24th edition of Overtime. Yesterday, Dustin Baker and I sat in this studio and prognosticated about the first round of the NFL draft. And my, oh my, were we right on some things and were we very wrong on others? For the first time in a very long time, Dustin joins us on the ESPN hotline, man. Been a long time since we talked. How you been?
A full 24 hours. Hey, speaking of our prognostication, per the Huddle report, I was the 30th most accurate mock drafter in the world. Thank you very much.
Ooh, 30th. That's pretty darn solid. I wonder where we both combined to be, because I thought we did a pretty nice job last night. And overall, we'll get to your take on Caleb Banks, the selection of the Vikings at number 18 overall. But give me a take on your draft setup. What did you watch last night? Were you watching something Viking-centric? Were you on plain old ESPN, NFL Network? What were you watching, and what made your night pretty darn joyous last night in the NFL draft?
All right, what I was watching, I made a cardinal mistake. I had the pre-draft hype on my Sling, my streaming provider, mm-hmm. on NFL Network. And I always do this. I forgot to switch it over to my antenna ABC because there's no lag, there's no delay. Mm. And I realized that about 4 minutes into it, and I was like, oh, I got to switch it, because I religiously stay off Twitter until the Vikings pick, because I don't like to see all the spoilers. I like to enjoy it in the moment. So my setup was watching it on ABC, which is the same as ESPN. And then my son, who's a veteran of the show, by the way, he's not a huge football fan, but he sat next to me the whole time and enjoyed. So I was proud of the setup. And then we got to the Vikings pick, which I'm sure we're going to get into. And I got the position right. I said a defensive tackle. I did not buy into the Dylan Tynemann smoke, because all of my sources never said a word about Dylan Tynemann. They just didn't say that he was on the radar. So I picked Peter Woods. It turned out to be Caleb Banks.
We'll dive into Banks in a moment, but I got to tell you, last night, Dustin, you'd appreciate this as a father of young kids as well. My son, my 7-year-old, was in the TV room with me and saying, "Dad, what are we watching? What's going on here? Are these guys getting picked?" And I was like, "Yeah," and I explained it to him, and it just made me feel a lot more nerdy than I already am, saying, "Now I enjoy this stuff, son. You just wait. This guy's going to be good, even though he's just wearing a ball cap and interviewing. You wait. This is exciting stuff." And he looked like he was watching the stock market in the middle of a Wednesday afternoon, as entertaining as that was. In addition to that, of course, we saw all sorts of drama last night. Let's dive into your gut reaction, because the reaction videos are out there for Viking personalities, whether it be Thor Nystrom or a zillion others about the Caleb Banks pick. Everybody's shouting out, I want this guy, or this guy here. Okay, please don't mess it up. And everybody going, oh my gosh, that guy, really? We took a risk. I think of all the picks last night in the first round, you could argue the Vikings took the riskiest player at their selection, or the second, if you count Ty Simpson, or maybe one additional. What was your initial reaction to Caleb Banks, and how are you settling into last night's selection for the Vikings?
My initial reaction was, are you kidding me? Because you have to remember, Bert, that I do this for my career, my job, and for the last month, Caleb Banks has lived like around pick number 42, 43, 44 on every consensus big board. So what that means, my friend, is like, in theory, if the Vikings could have traded to where Caleb Banks's draft stock was, they would have picked up an extra second round pick, and a good second round pick, not like at the bottom. I'm talking right in the middle. So like last year when we had this situation, kind of the same thing with Donovan Jackson. We were told like the day after that the Texans were going to pick him, so the Vikings had to get their man. I'm expecting some sort of reporting to probably come out like that. But what I was doing, because I am firmly a believer in the best player available philosophy, I saw it work with Randy Moss when I was a kid. I saw it work with Adrian Peterson in 2007. I really thought the Vikings were going to go Mekhi Lemon, because you have Jordan Addison, who could be popped for something nefarious in any time. The Vikings got rid of Jalen Naylor. He's now a Las Vegas Raider. We don't know if Ty Felton's going to be good. So when I saw this board, I thought, well, the offense first head coach in Kevin O'Connell, he's not going to let Mekhi Lemon go off this board. So in that heat of the moment, I got that wrong. My initial reaction to Caleb Banks is exactly how I felt last year about Donovan Jackson. I like it because I think he's going to be a good football player. But as a matter of nuts and bolts on a draft board, they could have probably traded down and still got him while stockpiling another second or third round pick.
So certainly there's a lot on the table there to unpack. I think most Vikings, if we're being honest, didn't love the pick last night. But as you settle in and look at the film and the reports out there on Caleb Banks, not only is he a massive human, he is right now a really damn good football player. That's not up for debate. The debate is over a 6'6" 327-pound dude with a broken foot two times, or foot concerns two times in the last calendar year, played only three games last season at Florida. He can do it all on the football field. He is a problem on the defensive line. But talk to us about how you settle in with the film and what you really, really like about the player.
Okay, well, there's a couple things that stand off the page for me right away. If this draft were held in December or even January, this would be a wonderful pick, and everybody would be pounding the table for it. Packer fans like yourself would be worried about this. But the fact of the matter is, Caleb Banks broke a bone in his foot at the combine. And usually if you want to risk it in round one of draft, especially for a team that needs to hit on a draft once and for all, you don't want the guy with injury history. So, like, I want to be clear that this isn't just some middle-of-the-road bum that they think can be, like, no, this is a guy who was verifiably a first-rounder 2.5, 3 months ago. The other thing that stands out is last year with Donovan Jackson, that was perceived as a safe pick. Like, it's not really that difficult to scout an offensive guard and get the right guy. So the Vikings went ahead and played it safe. This is the opposite. This is getting really bold and betting on somebody with an all-pro upside. And the only thing that will really derail him is the injury. Go figure. So I think the only thing that gets on my nerves about this, because I do love the fact that they're going to risk it, is now I have to wait for 4 months to figure out if he's going to be game ready in week one. At the end of the day, if you're a Vikings fan and you have to figure out how you're going to support this pick, you have to ask yourself, who knows better, the consensus big board from mockdraftdatabase.com or Brian Flores? When Kwesi Adofo-Mensah got fired, at the end of January, there was this assumption that Brian Flores is going to have more control over the roster, and there's just no way that this pick was made without Flores' consent. So I'm going to rest on my laurels to say that Brian Flores probably knows defense a little bit better than me and the mock draft community.
Let's talk about the other two names that were heavily linked to Minnesota. Dustin, before we cut you loose, man, appreciate the time as always. Dylan Thienemann and Peter Woods. That's the safety of Oregon and by way of Purdue. And Woods, of course, defensive lineman that you had projected to the Vikings at this pick out of Clemson. He ends up with the Kansas City Chiefs. What did you make of their landing spots, especially how far they fell down the board?
All right, well, let's get with the easy one first. I don't really care about Peter Woods going to the Chiefs. That was my prediction. Whether the Vikings drafted him or not, I didn't care. I actually like Banks more as a defensive tackle prospect than Woods. Mm-hmm. I just thought the Vikings would get a DT, which they did, but I picked the wrong guy. So best of luck to Peter Woods in Kansas City. The problem here is, I don't know if we figured out how to say his last name correctly. Dylan Thienemann, Thienemann.
Something. It's one of those.
He was the mock draft darling for the Vikings for the last 7 weeks. I think what the world did, and I said this on your show a couple weeks ago, is they saw that a white safety, Harrison Smith, is either retiring now or next year. And the world was like, you know what? Let's get him another cool white safety. And the problem was nobody within the Vikings community or even people that I talked to hinted that the Vikings were in on Thienemann. So when he was not picked by the Vikings, I really didn't care. However, when the Bears picked him, that opened up the door for, you know, the perception of Vikings fans or the national media to be like, if they would have picked him like I said they wouldn't have to face him twice a year. So you find yourself in this Kyle Hamilton situation from 2022 where the Vikings could have not got cute, picked Kyle Hamilton, and avoided the Lewis Cine bust situation. That's even worse now because they have to face Thienemann twice per year in Chicago. So I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little worried about that.
Lastly, Dustin Baker of Draft Huddle, VikingsTerritory.com. They are a lot of really good players left. Cornerback, safety still very much on the board. Emmanuel McNeil Warren still out there. Trayden Stukes out of Arizona. Got three picks tonight, rounds two and rounds three, two in the third, one in the second. Who do you want the Vikings to take? Of course, you can look at the top of the board, but Minnesota middle of both rounds, late in the third with their third pick tonight. Give me one name tonight that is on your wish list.
Okay, well, I want to point something out before we depart. This is we're sizing up a situation here where if Emmanuel McNeil Warren or somebody like that falls to 49, we can do the thing where we convince Vikings fans, hey, just switch the order of Caleb Banks and Emmanuel McNeil Warren. You'll be fine. Like, just tell them, like, if you need to get behind this, that's the way to do it. Ultimately, I don't think EMW will be on the board. The names that stick out to me probably in round three are Jonah Coleman from Washington. He's a running back. Mm-hmm. He's the best pass blocking running back in this class next to Jeremiah Love. So in theory, he wouldn't have to come off the field when he assumes the RB1 job. And I also like Jayshon Barham from Michigan. I think he'll be a good edge rusher. Andrew Van Ginkle is scheduled to be a free agent next year. There's a lot of folks, especially the guys that I work with, that like Trayden Stukes, a cornerback safety hybrid from Arizona, and then Deshaun Stribling from Mississippi if the Vikings go wide receiver. On the whole tonight, I expect them to leave these three picks with a center, probably in round three. A safety, I'm guessing somebody like A.J. Halsey, and then if we believe in the smoke of the wide receiver, that's probably a safe place to target.
Still a lot on the table for the NFL draft. Round one in the bag. That's your Vikings recap. Preview of what's ahead. Dustin Baker of DraftTuttle.com, VikingsTerritory.com. We'll talk to you Thursday, my friend. Have a great weekend.
I look forward to it. Skol, baby.
Skol, baby. That is going to absolutely bring back some memories as Dustin Baker. I remember that. That was 4 years ago doing this show, and I was talking about the draft. I believe that was the Lewis Cine, Andrew Booth year, breaking it down, and Dustin Baker thinking that I identified as a Vikings fan. Skol, baby. And I did not return the chant. VikingsTerritory.com, DraftHuddle.com. There's your Vikings draft reaction in hour number one. More to come in hour number two with Thor Nystrom of Score North, including best player available, who won round one, who lost round one last night, and what team that didn't have a pick lands on my winner's list last night. I'll do my winners and losers coming up in the middle of hour number two. We take a break, back with more of the show coming up next on this Friday edition of Overtime.
College hoops and NBA basketball, the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's all here on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Right back with you. It is a Friday draft recap, draft preview kind of show on the program today. Especially appreciate you always tuning in. The Friday Parlay coming up over the weekend is posted live right now on Twitter. If you follow us on Twitter, you can enter and win big. It is a free contest for entry. And every single weekend, you can win big with the Friday Parlay. This weekend, Twins tickets, an Atomic Wings gift certificate, and more up for grabs. Win some wingies. Tommy want wingy at ESPN Sioux Falls on Twitter right now. Denver and Minnesota. Game number four from Minneapolis on Saturday night. Minnesota is a 1.5-point Timber dog in the spread over on Saturday night. DraftKings Sportsbook. Then Dallas and Minnesota collide on the ice in St. Paul on Saturday. That is a pick 'em for game number four, your preference, Stars or the Wild. And then game three, Cleveland at Toronto. The Raptors are getting 3.5 points on their home floor for game number four there. That is Sunday. And your tiebreaker, total points in the matchup between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets on Saturday. Win an Atomic Wings gift certificate and so much more. Enter now. The Friday Parlay up. The entries are rolling in on Twitter with our Twitter-exclusive contest that keeps you company over the weekend. Let's talk round ball. We start with college basketball because typically we'd slot this in to your headlines of the day. We didn't even get that far with all the NFL draft drama off the top of the show, but South Dakota State had a interesting day yesterday for the men's basketball program. SDSU center, the big man, Damon Wilkinson, is on the move. He entered the transfer portal yesterday, according to Pete Nakos of On3.com. Wilkinson, of course, the recognizable big man, one of the key contributors last year for the Jackrabbits and what they were able to do on the basketball court. He averaged 14 points per game, 6.5 rebounds to lead the team this past year. And Damon Wilkinson has entered the transfer portal. And I say this begrudgingly, but wait, there's more. Another player last night hopping into the portal from SDSU, guard Kalen Gary, has entered the portal. He averaged 11 points per game, 5 rebounds, led the team in assists this past year, and he has reportedly entered the portal with a do not contact tag, which typically means that they know where they're going to go. Don't waste my time. I've got my preference in mind. I'm not going to speculate on landing spots here, but it is concerning here. 11th hour entries into the portal up the road in Brookings. They're going to backfill the roster. They're going to find a way. That program always does. Really darn solid. Coach Brian Peterson gearing up for year number two, but this offseason puzzle just got a lot more tricky. They pretty much removed the edge pieces of the puzzle and say, go to work. And if you're a person that does puzzles with your kids, you know how difficult it is to get the puzzle done of any size and shape without your edge pieces. That's the immediate place that I go to. So pair of players into the portal. Kalen Gary, the guard. Damon Wilkinson, the center. That all going down yesterday. That full article up at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. But the good news, the bright side for the Jackrabbits is I have a big name to tell you about that is coming into the program. According to his Instagram, Tim Hill on Twitter, TH_hoops, noting that the NAIA Player of the Year from Northwestern Raider men's basketball just across the border in Iowa, Jesse Van Kalsbeek, has officially committed to SDSU. That is a huge pickup for the Jackrabbits. He averaged 28 points per game, 12.5 rebounds, and 5 assists per contest this past year. Yes, it's a different level of basketball, but generally speaking, a lot of that's going to translate. And do not be surprised. Don't get caught off guard if we're talking about, gosh, another big game for Van Kalsbeek and the Jackrabbits. He leads the team in scoring. Another dynamite performance on the glass is going to be a big get for Coach Peterson. So, yes, two big defections overnight in Brookings, but a big add as well yesterday. Jesse Van Kalsbeek, a Sheldon, Iowa native, Mock Floyd Valley High School, 6'6", sophomore forward, making his way to the Jackrabbit program in Brookings. Lastly, from college basketball, a polarizing star freshman is entering the draft, Darren Peterson of Kansas. He's expected to be one of the top picks coming up in the draft in June. Peterson announced his decision in an Instagram post today in which he thanked his teammates, friends, and family. Among others, Peterson entered a stop-start season in his only year at KU. Injuries limited to 24 games. He averaged 20 points, 4 rebounds per game, and was an All-American honorable mention. Now, the big question here is the demeanor, the behavior, the character concerns, the gotta have it, gotta want it style of guy that you want. Peterson might not be that. He showed a lot of selfish nature, taking himself out of the game, standing around on offense and defense. And fans of Kansas that certainly have a high standard, we're not fans of this kid for large portions of the season for those reasons. So yes, there's effort, mentality, hustle questions, but the ability is through the roof with Darren Peterson. He officially enters the NBA draft this morning. The Milwaukee Bucks are finalizing a deal to hire Taylor Jenkins, former leading man in Memphis, as their next head coach. Jenkins, a Bucks assistant under Coach Budenholzer in 2018-2019, won 250 games as the winningest coach in Grizzlies history, made 3 playoff appearances across 6 seasons with the franchise before being fired in March of last year. The Bucks brass, including ownership, met in person with Jenkins last week, and now he's finalizing a deal to becoming the next head coach in Milwaukee. Gotta say, I don't necessarily love that, but I would put myself in the like category for Taylor Jenkins becoming the next head coach in Milwaukee. Now, recaps and previews of what's ahead. Lakers, hope springs eternal. First big news item on the injury front we've talked about in weeks for the LA Lakers. Austin Reeves, who has been sidelined because of a grade 2 left oblique strain, was upgraded to questionable for game 3 of the Lakers' first-round series against the Rockets, while Rockets star Kevin Durant was also listed as questionable because of a sprained left ankle. Reeves suffered the injury all the way back on April the 2nd. He's been out since. Luka Doncic still working his way back, out for game 3 officially for Luka, but questionable for the Lakers, Austin Reeves, and that is a massive news item for multiple reasons also, because they don't need him back for game 3. They probably need him back for game 4, game 5, game 6 if it goes that far. But the 2-0 lead is such a comfortable bed to lay in for the Lakers right now because it takes all the pressure off. If it was 1-1 or 0-2, you got to say, okay, Austin, I don't care if you're 70%, you're playing tonight. We need you. You got to make these buckets. You got to draw the defense. You got to play your best. Do your best. And I don't think it's necessarily as desperate for the Lakers to get him back tonight, although they would like to welcome him back as soon as possible, and Luka, but it's not as desperate as it would be if the series was even shifted just a tad. Now, last night, a butt-whooping by the Minnesota Timberwolves to the Denver Nuggets, and all anybody wants to talk about is the missed opportunities in Denver. ESPN.com noting that Nikola Jokic missed 19 of his 26 shots in last night's Game 3, and he led to a historic offensive season. He failed to reach 100 points for the first time since January. I've never seen him shoot what he shot today, Jamal Murray said. That's an outlier type of game. It resulted in the Timberwolves running away with a 113-96 win, putting the Nuggets into a 2-1 series deficit as pressure mounts on Jokic to solve the Rudy Gobert puzzle and the Minnesota defense before Denver's season could expire in a hurry. Jokic saying they're big, tall, long. They're really good defensive players. Nuggets had control of the series through 5 quarters. They won game 1, sprinted out to a 19-point first-half lead in game 2. But man, do you feel like this series is absolutely flip-flopped over to Minnesota being favored? And for good reason, they're backing it up. All the trash talk they spewed after game 2, they win game 3 in dominant fashion. And game 4 also going to be on the home floor. This is going to be a panic button smashing game 4 if Denver finds a way to lose that one coming up on Saturday. And lastly, news out of the NBA to get to, New York Knicks head coach Mike Brown isn't ready to bench Mikal Bridges just yet, but he took a step toward it in a disappointing game 3 finish in Atlanta. Bridges didn't play for much of the second half in the Knicks' most recent loss to Atlanta, 109-108. New York now trails that series 2-1. Bridges went scoreless and was minus 26 during his time on the floor, committed 4 turnovers, struggled in the second half of game 2 when he was also scoreless and minus 11 as the Hawks staged a fourth quarter comeback to steal home court advantage in the series. That is very, very ugly. Bridges had 21 minutes last night, and those were the fewest he has played in 60 career playoff games. Played 23 minutes in a Western Conference Finals blowout win when he was a member of the Suns back in 2021. The Knicks are down and down bad in that series. 2-1 to Atlanta. Game 4 in Atlanta on the way over the weekend. Also going to be panic button nature, but the difference between them and the Nuggets is that if this is a first-round exit for the Knicks and a loss to a subpar Atlanta team that is talent deficient relative to New York, this is going to be a tear-it-down panic mode offseason we're going to enter for New York Knicks basketball. That's just about every offseason if you ask Knicks fans. But the Nuggets, they lose here. They're going to say, okay, you know, Minnesota is that team. We do not match up well with them. They're supremely talented. They're healthy at the right time. But the Knicks don't really have much of an excuse there if that one ends up not going their way. Lastly, let's take a look at your odds as we enter the weekend in the NBA. Your spreads to know for tonight: Boston favored by 7.5 against Philly on the road. Lakers an 8.5-point dog on the road at Houston. And the Spurs a 2.5-point road favorite, likely to be without Victor Wembanyama. That matchup tonight in Portland. And the initial spread out for the Nuggets and T-Wolves on Saturday is trimmed down to 1.5 points. Denver favored on the road. Game 4, a 7:30 start time on ABC Saturday night. That's your odds roundup. DraftKings Sportsbook, always subject to change there, as those are always on the move, and a lot of players on the move in the NFL draft last night. We continue to get you up to date on what the heck happened, what's going to go down tonight, best players available, and give me your gut reaction. I'm begging somebody, call me around the corner, headlines and highlights, and wax poetic about how much you love Caleb Banks, or wax poetic about what the heck the Vikings are doing by drafting Caleb Banks. A trade down, probably a better move. Drafting Thielemon, probably a better move. Peter Woods, a healthier, higher floor prospect than Caleb Banks, but Banks has a massive ceiling, but his floor is pretty rock bottom. He's got a foot injury as a 327-pound, 6'6" dude. And I'm not a doctor, but the prevailing sentiment is those foot injuries can linger and might not ever go away for the Florida Gators mammoth defensive tackle selected by the Vikings. Headlines and highlights coming up next, as well as the High Noon Showdown. I almost forgot to get our callers. It's Friday and it's noon. Hold the phones. Go to the phone. 605-362-3776. I'll keep it easy. Win big. An Atomic Wings gift certificate and more in the envelope for you if you can beat up your neighbor right now. 605-362-3776. Let's do it and do it live. The High Noon Showdown coming up around the corner. Caller 1, caller 2, 605-362-3776. Fresh, never frozen chicken at Atomic Wings. Also a gift certificate to the all-new Uncle Ed's Specialty Meat. 605-362-3776. The High Noon Showdown coming up next. Caller 1, caller 2, dial me up. You want to win and win big on a Friday. 605-362-3776.